It's so good to know when he's Lord of everything that he ministers into our lives, into the areas where we need to know his blessing, his release, his healing, his freedom, where we can just sense the reality of the fact that he is the God who restores, refreshes, renews, the God who is for us and not against us, to know the reality that nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to look at an almighty appraisal this evening, and I want to begin by saying that we live in a society that tends to put so much value on image. Body image. Do I look right? Do I have the right shaped nose? Thank you very much. Do I have hair? Do I look muscular? Do I look beautiful?
Yes.
Our body image can so often create for us a deep sense of uncertainty and insecurity, but equally can also apply inwardly as well, emotionally, mentally. What do people think about me? How do they see me? What do they say about me? And it can become something that is so driven within us that we constantly live in this place where we're trying to meet the standards that others have set for us. And as I was reflecting on what God wanted to say to us, I very much believe that God wants to emphasize to each and every one of you how valued you are, how precious you are, and how beautiful you are in his sight. To recognize that it's not that important in one sense as to how people see you or what people think about you compared to how God sees you and what God thinks about you. Because ultimately that is what determines your destiny. That's what determines the future that he has for you. That is what ultimately impacts upon eternity itself. So no matter how beautiful you may consider your body, I have to tell you that it's going to decay and die. No matter how much you may feel that others may or may not consider you to be of value, ultimately you will stand before the God of all the earth, and the words given to you will be words based on the principle of whether Jesus has been your saviour or not. Because have you accepted Jesus as Saviour? If you have, you have this confidence and this assurance that God is at work within you, changing you from glory into glory. You are becoming more like Jesus, even though you so often, with some of you, struggle to see how you're becoming more like Jesus. The fact remains that the work that is taking place is a work that is by the Spirit of God, not by your effort, nor your energy, nor your achievement. It is a process that is taking place. And I want to turn to a book in the Old Testament, to the book of Judges, and pick up a story of a young man who did not have a good image of himself. A story in which we see that as far as he was concerned, he was of no value. He had no confidence. He had no assurance. And yet was to discover that God had a very different opinion of him. You'll find his story in Judges chapter 6. And I'm going to just pick up and read some of the verses to you. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.'" I want first of all for us to notice as we look at this chapter that it tells us at the beginning of the chapter that the enemy was seeking to bring the people, and indeed Gideon himself, into a place of impoverishment. That is what the enemy does. He seeks to steal and rob from you your destiny, the fruits of your hands, the labors that you put your tasks to. He seeks to steal from you anything that will enable you to see how precious and valued you are. That is what the enemy will seek to do as far as the church is concerned. He will seek to try and rob the church of all the opportunities that God can give to it to accomplish what he has determined it to accomplish. And if you feel in some way this evening that spiritually you're in a place of impoverishment, I want to say to you, you do not need to remain there, because that is not the heart of God for you. If you feel somehow or other there is so much more yet to be experienced and to discover, I've got good news for you. That's the heart of God for you. And so it was that here we discover there's a nation that's in impoverishment. I want to say our own nation in many respects is spiritually in impoverishment. The enemy has robbed our nation of its spiritual heritage. But I want to say too that I have a heart and a sense that God is not going to leave us there in that place. Because God is looking for those who he can raise up to bring about breakthrough once they've broken out, as we heard this morning, as Megan shared with us. Here was Gideon in a place where he was hiding away. Here was Gideon who saw himself in two ways. He saw himself as being insecure, and he saw himself as being someone who was inferior. How do I know that? Because Gideon tells us that himself. Insecurity. The insecurity in Gideon is revealed when the Lord comes to him and tells him what he thinks of him, and Gideon begins to respond. And one of the first things that Gideon says is, God, if you really are God, if you really are sovereign, if you really are in control, how come that we're not seeing the miracles we've heard about? How come we're not seeing the power that we've heard about? How come we've not seen the change and transformation that we've heard about? Where are you, God? I do not see you at work in our land. I do not see you at work in my life. He was insecure because he felt somehow or other that nothing was happening within the spiritual realm and that God was no longer in control. I want to say to you, do not let that lie rest in your heart. Do not look at our nation and look at what's going on and somehow feel that God has lost control and that God is no longer sovereign and there is no longer any place for the miraculous and there's no longer any place for a demonstration of the power and the glory of God. To understand that there is a God who looks down and has everything in hand to bring about his purposes and his plans. The reason the nation was in the state it was in was because, as you look at the beginning of the chapter, it says there, God himself speaking, I told you not to follow other gods. I told you to listen to me. And I told you there will be consequences if you do not. And that same principle still applies today, both nationally and personally. If we choose not to put God first, there are consequences. If we choose not to listen to him, there are outcomes. But God is a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of love. And the people began to cry out to him in their desperation, their need. They began to turn to the one they turned from. And God began to take action. How do I know that Gideon thought he was inferior? Because he said, I'm weak. In fact, I'm at the bottom of the pile. I want to say to one or two of you, you are not at the bottom of the pile as far as God is concerned. You're not someone who's been discarded. You're not someone who's been set aside. You're not someone who's been ignored. You're not someone of no consequence. You're not someone who is a person that is outside of the eyes of the one who sees all the earth. To know that you are a person who God values, you are a person who God calls precious, you are a person who God sees as his child, you are a person who God sees has all the potential to bring about change and transformation in your life and in your family and in your community and amongst those you connect with. And so for Gideon, in this place of insecurity and this place of feeling inferior, God breaks into his life. There is suddenly at a moment in time when it was unexpected, when it wasn't being looked for, suddenly there was this interruption. God turns up. Do you know, I've seen over the years in my own life times when I haven't expected it and God has turned up. And God suddenly stepped in and he's interrupted the normal flow of things. Just imagine how Gideon must have felt. He was there just going about his business and suddenly an angel is speaking to him. A messenger from God. Now let's make it clear that the Bible tells us that angels sometimes are not even recognized as angels. They are not, angels are not people who've got wings. That's the cherubim and the seraphim. Angels are simply messengers for God. And here is this messenger, this angel that God has sent specifically to an individual who considered himself to be inferior and insecure. A message that was going to be personally and specifically for him. Do you know God will interrupt your day sometimes to whisper something into your ear? It might not be an angel that turns up in the same way as it did here for Gideon, but you'll hear a still small voice, a word spoken to you that is unique and special to you, a verse that suddenly comes out of scripture that hits you between the eyes, a song that suddenly drops into your mind. Listen and look out for those divine moments, those interruptions. When God comes to speak to you personally and individually, identifying with you and wanting to assure you that he is there by your side, despite what you may think about yourself, despite what you may think that others think about you. And so here is this messenger who comes to this individual, this messenger who carries the most amazing message that it's possible to carry. Because here is this messenger who is going to inform Gideon of one or two things that he needed to be aware of. And the first bit of information that the messenger gives to Gideon is, he says, the Lord is with you. What? The Lord is with me. Now hold on though, the Lord can't be with me because I'm going through difficult times. No, the Lord can't be with me because I'm not seeing the evidence of his power. No, the Lord can't be with me because we are surrounded by enemies. No, the Lord can't be with me because I'm not the sort of person he'll be interested in. No, the Lord can't be with me because I am someone that is of no value to God or to heaven. No, the Lord can't be with me because I'm not someone that he would take any notice of. I say to every one of you, the Lord is with you. And the enemy will seek to sow into your life the thought that somehow or other God has abandoned his child. And God will never abandon his child. God will never in any way allow you to be isolated away from his love, from his presence, and from the influence of his power. It is not rooted in how you feel, it's rooted in the recognition that his promises and his word is firm and sure and secure. For some of you this evening, God wants to remind you, he's with you. Doesn't just mean he's with you when you're here on a Sunday night, listening to a message, singing a song, but he will be with you tomorrow when you go off to work. He will be with you tomorrow when you're going about your daily duties. He will be with Maureen as she travels off to play cello. He will be with me as I'm left isolated at home. He will be with us. Because that's the God he is. And so here is this messenger saying to Gideon, Gideon, what you may be seeing, what you may be thinking, what you may be feeling, all of that is deceptive. Because I want you to know that God is with you. Some of you are going through really challenging times at this moment. And in some respects, even as a church group, I sense some struggles that are going on within the spiritual realm. But I want you to know that God is with us. That God is with us. That's why this morning Paul and Silas could sing in prison, because he knew God was with them. And the reason, as Megan pointed out this morning, the reason that Paul and Silas ended up in prison, in the inner cell, in the stocks, was because God was with a jailer who he wanted to reach with the good news of Jesus. And the only way that he could reach the jailer was to send his messengers into a place where the jailer was, so the jailer could himself be set free. Some of you need to know that circumstances in which you find yourself at this moment in time is not in any way to bring you into captivity, but in order that you might, through those experiences and through those circumstances, see that you become the instrument that brings freedom to others who are at the moment in captivity. Because your circumstances do not hold you in captivity. Because where God is, there is freedom. And so even if the circumstances seem to in some way be holding you and capturing you, recognize the Lord is with you. That was the first thing that Gideon needed to be informed about. The second thing that Gideon needed to be aware of was the identity that he had. In the NLT, New Living Translation, it says, "The Lord is with you, mighty hero." NIV, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mighty warrior, mighty hero, hold on a minute, I'm hiding away. Hold on a minute, I'm the lowest of the low. What are you talking about? If he could have stood before God and said, "God, I want you to do an appraisal of me." And God said, "Well, Gideon, what do you think about you?" And that's why I asked you the question at the beginning of our service. What do you think about you? Do you think that Gideon would have come up with a description, mighty hero or mighty warrior? I don't think so. For some of us, the identity that we have embraced is an identity that we have set upon ourselves, which is not the identity that God has of us. For some of us, the identity that we live by is an identity that we have allowed to encapsulate our lives. It's an identity in some respects that has stemmed from our background. In some respects, it stemmed from what people have said about us. In some cases, it stemmed from how we even think about ourselves. But God wants you to know that the identity that has been placed upon your life by you is a wrong identity. And that you need to capture and get a sense of the identity that God has given to you. Because that's the identity that is the real identity. That is the identity that is transformational. That is the identity that is releasing. That is the identity that enables you to be able to move into a destiny that you would never have thought possible. No way could Gideon become who he became while he lived with the identity he had of himself. Only when he began to grasp the identity that God had of him, could he then begin to work out the purposes and the plans that God was going to lead him into. And that is why for some of you, you need to know that the enemy has sown that identity into your life, because that identity prevents you from entering into the destiny that God has set for you. And until you come to the place where you begin to embrace the identity that God has of you, and when you might say to me, "Well, Dave, how can I know what that identity is?" The Bible is very clear on the things that God thinks about you. You are his precious child. Who am I that the highest king should welcome me? I am a child of God. Yes, I am. To recognize and understand that as we look at what God says about us, it enables us to begin to move out of the natural into the supernatural. Out of the place of where we somehow feel that we can never bring about change and never can ourselves see change, into a place where we begin to have an expectation that somehow or other God can do something significant and powerful in and through our lives. You see, as he began to grasp the identity that God put on him, his first response to this was, hold on a minute, God, you are saying I'm a mighty hero. This is what I see I am. You see me as someone who is significant, someone who can accomplish something. I see me as someone who is insignificant, inferior. I'm from the weakest clan and I'm at the bottom of the pile. And God said, now hold on a minute, that's not where you are, and that's not where you need remain. Because as Gideon begins to say to God, God, you are beginning to speak into my life and reveal things to me that I cannot see possibly can be accomplished, this is what God says to him. He says, look, Gideon, you are saying you're weak, you're saying you're insignificant, you're saying you're insecure, you're saying that it's impossible for you to be able to achieve or accomplish anything on my behalf, but I want to say something to you. I want you to know that you can become influential to the extent that you can see a nation transformed. And the reason you can have that sort of influence, the reason you can have that sort of power, the reason that you can begin to make that sort of difference in the community in which you live is this. He says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? So I want you to see something here. God doesn't say to him, go in the strength I'm about to give you. He says, go in the strength you already have. See, the enemy had robbed Gideon of seeing all the potential and the possibility that was already in his life. The enemy had robbed Gideon of seeing all that he could accomplish with all that God had already implanted into him and given to him to enable him to fulfill all the potential and all the possibilities that God had him as far as the kingdom of God was concerned. And so it is for some of you. You keep on asking God for more. God is saying to you, you already have what you need. You keep on saying to God, God, I just need to have more power. I need to have more of your spirit. I need to have more of your presence. And God is saying to you, you have everything you need to begin to take the steps that lead you into the destiny and the calling that I have for your life. The enemy wanted to leave Gideon in the winepress. God wanted to lead Gideon into a destiny which was going to transform a nation. And he had given Gideon all that he needed. But alongside that, God said, not only already do you have all that you need to accomplish what I'm asking you to do, but I've got some good news for you. I'm not leaving you to do this on your own. I'm coming with you. And that is where the difference lies. As you begin to take the step of faith, utilizing all that God has already equipped you with, to step into the destiny that God has already called you to, you do not do it in your own strength, nor do you do it in isolation, but you do it in the knowledge that God is with you in that very thing that he's called you to do. And that is why Gideon was able to see such amazing things accomplished, because God was with him. Whatever our abilities, whatever our talents, whatever our calling, whatever our leadership skills, whatever it is that we turn our hands to that God has called us to do, do not forget that it has to be in partnership with Him. Simply having the ability and the talents to do what God is asking you to do and not have the presence of God with you dooms you to failure. But having the power and the presence of God with you, partnering with you in all that He wants to accomplish through your life, that is a guarantee for success. Why is it a guarantee for success? Because you're moving out of the natural into the supernatural. And the natural abilities and giftings and talents you have are then being enhanced by the power and the supernatural giftings of God. That is why Jesus said to His disciples as He was about to leave them and ascend to heaven, "You wait in Jerusalem until you receive power and authority from on high." When they waited in that upper room, they didn't receive gifts in the sense of natural gifts. Those natural gifts were already there. What they received was the power of the Spirit that enabled them to be released to accomplish what God wanted them to do, which was to turn the world upside down with the good news of Jesus. And I want to say to you, church, all that we have need of in the context of ability is here in this group of people to see our community and world changed. But we need the power and the presence of God to partner with us in order that might be accomplished. And so, because Gideon understood that he was a man of influence, again, it's something that often is spoken about in this particular world and society we live, particularly online, influences. Let me say that you're all supernatural influences. And you might be someone very, very good at influencing as far as social media or anything else is concerned, but let me say to you, there is no greater influencer than the person who has the power of God at work in their life and through their life, demonstrating His glory and His majesty to a world that needs to so see the reality of a God who loves them and wants to bring them into a place of freedom. Because that's the next thing that we see, and the final thing I want to leave with you. That for Gideon, when he understood that he was a person of influence, when he grasped what his identity was as far as God was concerned, and he began to embrace that, he began then to be someone who could make an impact. In fact, God tells him he will make an impact. God says to him, "I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites." If you go to the beginning of the chapter describes the Midianites of being like grasshoppers. They were absolutely everywhere. There were hordes of them. And so in comparison to this one individual who felt at the beginning of the story insecure and inferior, to suddenly understand that as far as God was concerned, he was someone who would make such an impact that the opposition and the power that was at work against the people of God would be conquered and destroyed through his hand and through the calling that was on his life. That is why, as we look at the Word of God, we see time and time again, people who thought they were of no significance, or people who others thought were of no significance, suddenly finding that they were taken hold by God, of God, and taken hold by God, and they brought about change. As an example, a nation quivering in fear, quaking at the sight of one man A man who was a giant of a man. A man who physically was head and shoulders way above everybody else. If I were to say to you, what's his name? I'm sure you would quickly respond to me, Goliath. Goliath, who stood, defied the nation of Israel, and in so doing defied God. And as he did that, the nation as a whole felt insecure and inferior and could not take on the issue that was there before them. In fact, Dave Campbell just recently, as he was just sharing some thoughts about David and Goliath, he said that the issue, as far as Goliath was concerned, this was a problem. And that rather than dealing with the problem, the people of God kept running away from the problem. And the more they looked at the problem, the bigger the problem got. I want you to know there's some truth in that. If you do not deal with the problem that you think is trying to catch your life, rather than that problem becoming something that you will overcome, it will become something that will become ever increasingly bigger and drive you ever increasingly more away from dealing with it. But you see, there was a man, but he wasn't a man, he was a boy. A boy who came on the scene knowing who his identity was, knowing that he'd been anointed, knowing that he'd been called, knowing that even though he had been obscure and that others had left him out in the field looking after sheep because they didn't consider him worthwhile to come into the family home and weep with the prophet who turned up, this young man, when he comes on the scene, says, I see the problem, but I see a God who's greater than the problem. I see a God who's able to defeat the problem. I see a God who's able to take hold of my life and influence me in such a way that I can have a major impact on what is going on at this moment in time, and I can bring about victory where it seems to be certain defeat. And David goes and rushes headlong towards the problem. And as he does so, he sees the problem in the context of God and the presence of God being with him. He says, you have defied God, and I'm coming in his name to defeat you. The impact was that Goliath was defeated, killed, and the nation of Israel were released from tyranny. The impact of Gideon, when he understood his identity, was that at that moment in time, God began to then move him into seeing the fulfillment of what God said he would accomplish. Through his hands, the Midianites were defeated, a nation was transformed, and life was suddenly something that was so totally different from what he expected. For some of you tonight, you need to know what your identity is. Do not live with the lie that is any less than what God says it is. And if you're not sure what God says it is, then ask him to reveal to you what your identity is as far as he's concerned, and what he wants you to accomplish in your weakness, in your limitations, in your restrictions, in all the things that the enemy will try to say to you will mean that it's impossible for you to be able to do it. Let your eyes be fixed on the God who calls you to accomplish the unaccomplishable in your own strength, because his promise is, I will be with you. God bless you.